Great. Good morning. Good morning. Nice to see you. So this morning, actually amazing. You see how, you know, I'm so glad Len can hear the Lord as well. So 1 Thessalonians 5, that's really the text that I felt to share on this morning. So I'm just going to read it to us again, just those three verses where Paul talks to the Thessalonian church and really saying to them, in a time of great crisis, in a time of great turmoil, in a time of great persecution, he says to them, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, even next week as we celebrate your goodness. Lord, you are a good God. And you give us good things, and you are so good to us. And I want to thank you, Lord, that everything you do is with extravagance. And thank you for your lavish grace upon this church. And even this morning, would you use this word, Lord, to encourage us, Lord, to be the kind of people that you've called us to be, a kind of people who will stand out, who will be the very people, Lord, that will bring glory to you through everything we do. Bless this church. May this church be found worshiping when you return. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know about you, but there's this lie that we just save to be saved. Many believe that all I need to do is just to get my fire patch, right? Just to avoid hell. You know, that's what salvation is about. And so many people live this Christian life, as we say, camping at the gates of salvation. But salvation really is like level zero. Yes? True? Salvation is really the start of the journey. That God actually calls us on a lifetime of maturity. And there are many babies in this church, and we love babies, you know, so beautiful. And, you know, you hold them, and it's just goo goo gaga. And all these beautiful things. But the problem is, if that baby is 21 and it's still saying goo goo gaga, and it still is that size, it's a problem. And I fear sometimes, and especially in the church, is we happy to stay infants. And what we read here, as you read this, you probably ask, you know, it's like, in all circumstances, Paul, really? I mean, does he know what I'm facing maybe right now? Because let's be honest, it's easier to be thankful in a moment, yes, than it is to give myself to a lifestyle of thankfulness, especially when life seems hard, especially when life seems unfair. I mean, isn't that, you know, one of the two words little children learn firstly is mine, and that's not fair. Hey. So this is exactly the kind of life that God is calling us into, is a life that actually is beyond just moments of thankfulness, but a life that is actually filled with joy and prayer and thankfulness beyond our circumstances, situations. Because we live in a world, you know, it's easy to be grateful when I get what I want. Amen? It's not so easy to be grateful when I don't get what I want. And the Christian life, we have to ask ourselves is, we say we are different, but how are we different? There's this one preacher that used to say you have it, where is it? Hey? You have this Christian life, you have this treasure in this jar of clay, and, you know, greater is him who is in me than him who is in the world. And all these incredible things that we quote, but what this world needs is for us to be different. Not difficult, different. Hey. And when people look at us, you know, there's this idea that, you know, this world calls us to tolerate. But Jesus calls us to repent. He calls us to be different. And the way that this church or any church will really impact our city and the spheres and the places God has placed us is to be different. And when I read this verse, to live like this is to be different. Because this you will not do in your natural strength. Amen? You need something that is far more compelling, drawing you into something greater than than being like those around us. So Paul is really calling us to be grateful in every season. And my title this morning is, how can we live a life of gratitude beyond the Thanksgiving table? You know, even today, many that don't serve God comes around the table and they're grateful. But God says, I want you to live a life that's grateful beyond the table, you know, throughout the day and the week and the years to come. So firstly, a joy, which is really a confidence in God's goodness, a joy in spite of what I face, a prayer, really a constant dependence upon Him. You know, I think a lot of prayer is just divine complaining, hey? But God invites us not only to bring our shopping lists, you know, Lord, can I have this, can I have that, all of these kind of things, but actually to take time, to spend time with Him, is to commune with Him. And, you know, I think so much of our prayer is us talking. When is the last time that you just stopped and listened? Yes? If you're in a conversation with someone and they're the only ones talking, it's not much of a conversation, is it? Hey? You want them to also give you an opportunity to speak. And this kind of prayer we're inviting into us is a life dependent upon God, a life where we commune with God, a life where we just sit and be quiet and hear what it is that He wants to say to us. And then, of course, a lifestyle of thankfulness. You know, actually thankful for all things in our lives. Not good things, but all things. Because as Romans 8 says, one day when we look back, we will thank God for unanswered prayer. We will thank God for the times He said no to us. We will thank God for things that maybe don't make sense now. Because again, like a little infant, you know, you don't give a little infant this big knife and say, go play. Yes? They have to learn how to use the knife. They have to learn to become responsible. You don't give a little child the keys to your car. They have to learn how to do these things. But now I hear you're giving car keys to 14-year-olds. So, I mean, that's another thing to think about. But the reality is, we have to understand that what is this life that God has given us? Because this is not, the way this world is now is not our final resting place. So God is preparing us for the life to come. Like a little child being trained up and prepared for, you know, to become an adult. So this life is God preparing us for the life to come and to use us to influence and impact others around us. So as we sit around the Thanksgiving tables today and, you know, celebrate this amazing day in homes across Canada, and they are filled with the aroma of turkey and laughter of families and maybe the chaos of a hockey game or two, we want to live a life that goes beyond the table, beyond the pumpkin pie, where this question really echoes that we see in scriptures, what does it mean to truly live a thankful life? And the Apostle Paul answers it for us this morning. It means to rejoice always, to pray continually, to give thanks in all circumstances. And maybe you say, sitting there, you know, and say, well, that sounds simple, until the unplanned or unexpected moments of life actually happens. How do you give thanks when the medical diagnosis is not good? How do you give thanks when the job didn't work out? How do you give thanks when your season feels more barren than fruitful? How do you give thanks when your spouse decides to leave you? You see, did you know that Paul actually wrote these words not from comfort? He wrote these very words from facing his own set of challenges. He wrote it from experience, beaten, imprisoned, misunderstood, yet he found a way to be grateful in the midst of that. Again, that is the kind of life that shines like a light. That is the kind of life that draws others to say, why are you like this? Give me a reason for this hope that you have. Which tells us that Thanksgiving is not just meant to be a date on our calendar. It's a good thing to remind us, but it's actually a way of life that God is drawing us into, a life that's anchored in this incredible relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, because our circumstances change. That's why if my thanksgiving is dependent on my circumstances, I'll find myself constantly ungrateful, constantly frustrated. But actually, circumstances change, but Jesus doesn't. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And He is the one that is encouraging us to be grateful in every season. So three things this morning I want to share from our text is firstly that thanksgiving is a choice, not a feeling. That thanksgiving changes how we see circumstances. Actually, when we start to thank God, it changes our perspective. It changes our view of situations and circumstances. Thirdly, I want to show you that thanksgiving actually connects us to the presence of God. And isn't that where we want to live? Isn't that where we want to experience the tangible presence of God upon our lives? So, number one, thanksgiving is a choice and not a feeling. Now, which of you says gratitude comes automatic to you? Any takers? Hey? No one? Maybe we can pray for you afterwards if you say yes, to deliver you of that spirit of lying. You see, gratitude is not automatic. It's intentional. It's an action. I mean, if you've got little children, I mean, you know how many times say thank you, say thank you, say thank you. Hey, Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. He doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. Hey, which is a difference, because we don't thank God for the pain, but we can thank Him in the pain. How? Because in spite of the pain, He's still good. He's still faithful. He's still working. You see, friend, again, as I say, God is the only consistent one in a very inconsistent world. All these allergies, eh? You see, feelings come and go, but thanksgiving is a decision of the heart. There's this wonderful story of this lady I once heard about that she wrote a gratitude list every morning. And initially she would write down just things she is thankful for, getting out of her bed. At first it was, you know, small things like a coffee or a sunrise or a family. But when her husband passed away, it became harder for her to do this very thing. Yet she kept on writing. And months later she said, actually, when someone asked her, she said, you know, these little lists actually kept me from falling apart. You see, gratitude didn't change my loss, she said, but it changed me. And isn't that what gratitude does? It changes me far more, hey, than my situation. You see, this is the secret, that gratitude often does not erase pain, but it actually reshapes our perspective of this very pain. In Psalm 34, David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Do you know that he wrote this while he was running away for his life, when he was living in caves? But what does he say? He said, I will do this. Not I want to do this. You see, so many times in the Christian life, you know, I often say, you know, to our church and my children, I said, you know what? We have to allow, in such a world that's all about feelings. I feel this, I feel that, I don't feel this, I don't feel that. And it's all good. God made us with feelings. But I always say, we need to let our feelings catch up to our obedience. Eh? So often we decide, we let our obedience decide. You know, it's decided by our feelings. But actually the kind of life God calls us to is actually, Lord, I don't feel this way, but this is the kind of life I want to live. You know, David says, I will. Paul says, I will. You see, this is the language of choice, that gratitude is not the result of everything going right. It's the resolve to keep trusting God even when things seem wrong. You
You see, there's this incredible way that we can apply this because you might not feel thankful today. Maybe you're waiting for something to change. Maybe your job to change, your diagnosis to change, maybe a relationship to change. But can I tell you something this morning? That gratitude isn't a response for what we have. It's rather a recognition of whom we have. You see, and who do we have? We have Jesus. You see, Jesus says somewhere, he says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? The greatest thing that God can give us is himself. And even this morning, to be able to thank him, Lord, thank you that you have given me yourself. Thank you that you are mine, that I am yours. And maybe you're sitting here, maybe you've not surrendered to Jesus yet. Why not this morning? As he said, you can gain the whole world. In the end, it will mean nothing. Eh? I don't know if you've seen when babies are born. You know, they don't get born with what American Express black card. Eh? Apparently, that's the one that you want to have. You know, that's a really one. No, naked we come. And guess what? When we go naked, we depart. Yes? Sometimes we forget this. Sometimes we do live like he who dies with the most toys win. You know, we can put all your stuff with you in your grave. We can do all of these things. The problem is, when you get to heaven, you're going to realize customs. You know? They took all my stuff along the way. Eh? I left Earth with all of my jet ski and my snowmobile and my whatever, Shelby Cobra and my pickup and thing. That's how I left. And when I get there, it's gone. Eh? So what's the point? If we can find ourselves, like so many before us, to find our value and our joy in Christ, in the person of him. You see, in the life to come, where everything, you know, is just there. It's available. It's we have access, like children have access to the fridge, have access to everything in the house. Actually, the only thing that will matter in the end is having Christ, is have him. Number two, thanksgiving changes how we see our circumstances. So gratitude doesn't always change your situation, but it changes how you see your situation. Paul says to us, give thanks in all circumstances, because he knew that thanksgiving is a lens that helps us see God's hand when we only see his hardships. There's a story once of this tribe where they rite of passage for young boys. And when these boys are 13 years old, they have to go and stay for a night, you know, on their own in the forest. And some of you are saying, well, I do that every week. Okay, from my perspective, that sounds like, you know, interesting time. So they send this boy, and just imagine this boy all excited, you know, I'm going to be a man, and I'm going to be welcomed into the tribe. And there he goes, all, you know, happy, skipping, you know, into the bush. And as it gets darker, you know, he starts to hear noises. He starts to see things. You know, suddenly a leaf looks like something else. And you can just imagine as it gets darker and darker and darker, he you know, eventually tries to find some tree or something he can just sit against, and I can just imagine just the whole night, just his chest beating, you know, just so worried, you know, and hearing and seeing things and all of these kind of things. And the whole night he cannot sleep from the anxiety of being all alone. Suddenly the rite of passage is not such an important thing anymore. But as the sun comes up, he looks there and he sees not so close to him, there's a little silhouette. And as the sun comes up more, he sees there's a warrior standing. And as he looks closer, he sees it's his dad. And what he didn't realize was the whole night when he thought he was alone, his dad was right there watching over him. You see, friends, this is what we need to pray. and ask God, Lord, maybe I don't see a way out of this thing. May I see you? You know, the theologians used to say, even behind the greatest storm or the darkest cloud, the sun is always shining. That we actually have this incredible God, this Father who loves us, who watches over us, irrespective of what we're going through. To see our lives from a different perspective. We recently did a whole series in the book of Acts, and you see, here's Paul. And Paul's heart, his dream was to take this gospel to Rome, to take his gospel to, you know, in front of the, you know, the Caesar, and to go and proclaim the Christ, you know, before the upper echelon of society. But how does it happen? God answers his prayer, but not through him riding in through a chariot and Caesar bowing down and all of these kind of things. No, through prison. Amen. Through restriction, through chains. And I wonder sometimes, it's actually, can we, like Paul, embrace the restriction of God so that others can come into the freedom of God? You see, here is Paul in chains, not the way he thought it would be. And so often, if we can learn to be grateful, if we can ask God, even in spite of our situation, to look from a different perspective, actually, our restrictions, our difficulty could be the very thing that liberates others and sets them free. We look at Jesus and the five loaves in John 6. You know, he stands before a crowd, 5,000 or so people, with only five loaves and two fish. And always when I think about that story, I think of that little boy. I don't know how that happened, because my boys, I mean, on the way somewhere, they would have already eaten their lunch, you know? And then you try and get a lunch from a hungry little boy, hey? So just this incredible story. We often look at, you know, it's like, anyway, you know, I can just imagine, don't tell me no one else had food there. You know, as the disciples, who's got food? They're all like moving their bags here, you know, sort of behind them. Hey, like next week's potluck, hey? So the disciples see lack. The disciples complain about the hungry crowd, but Jesus sees opportunity. What does he do? It says he gives thanks before God. And after he's given thanks, the miracle starts to happen. What could happen if you give thanks? What miracles could God do through your hands? He doesn't say, Father, this isn't enough. He says, Father, thank you for what you've placed in my hands. You see, we often look at what we don't have. We often look at, you know, what, you know, how can I help? How can I, like the disciples, how can we feed this crowd? How can I deal with this massive problem here? But God is not asking you to give or do anything you don't have. The question is, what do you have? What's in your hands? And as Jesus gives thanks, this miracle starts to unfold, which tells us this incredible truth. Thanksgiving unlocks multiplication. What would thanksgiving unlock in your and my lives? When we thank God for the little, he often entrusts us with so much more. The story of a farmer who once planted his crops, and as he usually do or does, early spring, and suddenly frost came and just wiped it out. And his neighbors came to comfort him. He said, you know, I'm still thankful. He says, the frost didn't take my faith. It didn't take my faith in my Father. Didn't take my health. And the next season, the field produced actually the best harvest he's ever seen. You see, we often say it, you know, God is more interested in our holiness than our happiness. God is more interested in getting us ready and growing us and maturing us than just giving us what we want. You see, gratitude doesn't deny reality. It actually declares God's sovereignty over the reality. Philippians 4, Paul says, I have learned to be content. Learned. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. The word learned here means it didn't come naturally. Nothing we learn comes naturally. He trained his heart in gratitude. And when we train our hearts that way, peace is what follows as a byproduct. And it says, verse 7, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. I don't know if you've ever read in Isaiah, and when it talks about Jesus, so often it says where his government is, his peace will come. Can I say that the areas in our lives where we are not experiencing his peace, it's very likely areas that we have not accepted his government in our lives. Eh? It's actually when we allow and come under the rulership and the authority of Christ in our finances, in our sexuality, in our marriages, in our jobs, in all these things. That is where the peace of God will come. I don't know if you've looked at people these days, but not a lot of people have peace. I remember always my dad, when it's his birthday, we say, what can we give him? He says, always our peace and quiet. You know, I always thought, what a rubbish thing. Now I'm like, that was a pretty good thing to ask for, hey? So maybe you're in a season of waiting. And gratitude feels forced. What if you're not yet? Is God set up for something greater? When you thank him in the middle, what we're actually doing, we actually show him that we trust him with the ending. When you say thank you before you see the answer, isn't that faith? Again, I say it's easy to thank when I have something. I remember, you know, still that one trip we came, and now obviously we're trying to bring our kids some nice things. And I realize, you know, now we're going to one of the toy stores, I think, in West Edmonton Mall, and we're really bringing them nice little things, what we thought would be very expensive toys. And we bring it back to them, and they're so happy, and they play with it. And I think then someone brought them some McDonald's toys, and they played just as long with that, you know. I quickly realized, hey, it's like, rather buy McDonald's toys, hey. So when you say thank you, that is faith. You see, God calls us to a life of maturity, a life to thank him, not because my situation is good, but he is good. That's what makes gratitude powerful. Number 3, thanksgiving connects us to God's presence. Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So again, thanksgiving is not just good manners. It's a spiritual key. When we thank God, we're not just being polite. We're actually drawing near it to his presence. Paul and Silas in prison, you know, they were beaten, they were chained, they were locked in a dark cell. And at midnight, when the pain was fresh and the night was long, they sang hymns of thanksgiving. What's the point? They didn't praise God after the miracle. Yes, that's far easier. No, they actually praised God before the miracle. And as they sang, the prison shook, the doors flew open, and freedom came. Maybe you're stuck this morning. Maybe you feel you're in chains. Maybe you, you know, and actually, can we learn from them that actually worship and thanksgiving didn't just change their hearts, it changed the atmosphere. I don't know about you, but there are just some days when you think, like, you know, it's you know, life is difficult and things are pressing on every side. And as I just start to put up some worship music or something, it's amazing how it just lifts the mood, lifts the room, exalts our hearts, hey, before God. So let's imagine this today. As you sit down at your Thanksgiving table, families gather and it's all filled with wonderful food. Imagine no one says thank you. No one acknowledges the cook. No one acknowledges the host. No one acknowledges just anything that, I don't know, do you give gifts or, okay, no gifts, okay? Okay, but I need to bring one, eh? That's what life looks like when we enjoy God's blessings but forget His presence. Every breath, every sunrise, every answered prayer is an invitation to say, thank you, Lord, you've been so good. You see, gratitude opens the door for relationship with God, not just blessing. You see, some of us are waiting for God to show up, but He's waiting for us to invite Him in through gratitude. You see, when we begin to thank Him for who He is, we start to experience His peace and His presence in our lives. You see, thanksgiving, as we see the psalmist says, is how we enter His presence, but worship is how we stay in His presence. So God calls us to live a lifestyle of gratitude. As I said, thanksgiving is a choice, not a feeling. We choose it before we feel it. Thanksgiving changes how we see our circumstances. It's a lens of faith, not a denial of the circumstances. And then thirdly, we said that thanksgiving connects us to God's presence. It's a doorway to intimacy with Him and peace. If you could bottle peace, Elon Musk will look like a beggar, eh? Compared to you. What season are you in right now? Maybe you're in a season of blessing. Things are going well. Doors are opening. Give thanks. Maybe you're in a season of stretching. Prayers are not answered. Challenges are pressing in. Still give thanks. Maybe you're in a season of loss. Something or someone precious has been taken. Even there you can whisper, God, I don't understand, but I trust you. That's the kind of thanksgiving that heaven celebrates. Not just gratitude for what we see, but having faith in what we don't see yet. Could we show that picture? Do we have it? Please show that picture. There's a Japanese art called, what's it, kintsugi. If there's any Japanese people, forgive me for probably harming that word. I don't know if you've ever heard about it. But what they do is if a piece of pottery breaks, they don't just throw it away. They actually take some this gold liquid and this thing they put together like glue, and they put it together back again. And actually, it then becomes even more valuable. And actually, this very repair, when you look at this little pot, it actually, the repair is what brings the beauty to it. You see, that is what a grateful heart does. In spite of our brokenness, in spite of our challenges, in spite of all of these things, isn't that what the lover of our souls is doing in our lives? Putting us together piece by piece. Why? So that we would have more value now that He's repaired us than when we were before we were just broken pieces. But yeah, what is the gold? The gold is Him. His lines, His lives. And you know, one day we will stand before God, and when all is revealed, we will look back and we will see how His life, how His hands was all over our lives, far more than we realized. Just as that son realized his father has been there all the time. So this Thanksgiving Sunday, let's bring Him our gratitude. In every season, in every circumstance, and let Him fill our lives with Himself. You see, these kind of lives, broken lives made whole, this is what the world is desperate for. And this is what God wants to use to pour His presence in us, like that broken, restored, bowl, and to pour us out in our spheres. So we give thanks to God because He is good. His love endures forever. Let's be grateful. Beyond the table, into a lifestyle of celebrating what He's done and is doing in and through us. The God who makes broken people whole. Amen.